May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There is a story told in one of those Civil War documentaries, I think it's the Ken Burns one, about General McClellan leading the Union troops south to confront Lee, probably in Virginia. He was always going south to confront Lee in Virginia, right? But he's going along the James River, and they come to a peninsula, and they find themselves standing here with water on either side of them, and a decision to make. Do they cross the river, or do they go back and look for a better place to cross? And he stands there with the generals, and they debate the merits of it, and they find themselves, so how deep is the water? Do you think the river is? Do you think we can get across safely? How hard will it be? And this conversation apparently goes on for a little while, until General Custer, one of McClellan's generals, jumps on his horse, rides out to the middle of the stream, and says, "This is how deep it is, General." In our story in Acts today, we get the end of a long debate between Peter and the church and Cornelius. We get kind of that final act when the Holy Spirit jumps on its horse and rides into the middle of the river. The story begins with the early church's struggle to understand exactly what it means to be a follower of the risen Christ, what it means to be what will eventually be called Christians. Because it is not instantly apparent to everyone who Jesus came for. Did he come for the Jews? Is he a Jewish Messiah who is there to bring salvation to God's chosen people? Or is the salvation offered through Jesus bigger and broader than that? And the reason why it matters is because then the question is, who do you baptize? Do you baptize people who have converted to Judaism and have decided to follow Jesus? Or do you convert anyone who comes to the door and says, "I want to be a follower of Jesus"? And things have just got ratcheted up a bit, because in the earlier chapter, chapter 9 of Acts, we just heard about the conversion of Saul. You may know him by his other name, Paul. And Paul has decided and reported that he has been appointed by none other than the risen Christ himself to carry the good news of the resurrection to the Gentiles. And if you know your church history, you'll know that Paul figured that meant that the doors had been thrown open and you didn't have to be a good Jew to be a good follower of Christ. That in fact, the salvation through Jesus was for both Christians and was for both Gentiles and for Jews. It was equally offered. So you didn't have to become a good Jew first in order to be a Christian. You could be a good Gentile follower of Christ, and you could be a good Jewish follower of Christ, and both were a perfectly reasonable thing to do. And the early church wrestled with this. This was hard, because how do we know who we are? And so, at the beginning of Acts 10, we hear of this story of the most Gentile of Gentiles, Cornelius, a Roman officer. You don't get more Gentile than that. Has been converted and heard the good news of Jesus and wants to become a follower of Jesus. And Peter is wrestling with this. He's, "I don't know, what do I do? Do I tell him he has to be circumcised? Do I tell him he has to convert to Judaism first? What do I do?" And then Peter has a vision. And it's one of those funky visions. You know when you dream, and you know what you're dreaming about is not actually what's going on? This is what Peter's vision is like. In Peter's vision, there's this giant tablecloth lowered down from heaven, upon which there are all kinds of animals. A lobster, a pig. So we're having a pig roast and lobster bake. And a voice comes from heaven to Peter, "Peter, take and eat." And Peter goes, "Lord, those are unclean animals. I don't eat them. I'm a good Jew. I know better than to violate the law. Lord, I've never done that. I'm never going to do that." Well, this silence, Peter, do not make unclean what the Lord has made clean. And this happens three times. By the way, when something happens three times, you're supposed to pay attention to it in Scripture. Three is a big number. So it happens three times, and Peter wakes up and there's a messenger at his door knocking, saying, can you come and visit with Cornelius? Even Peter gets it. Peter packs up his bag and goes and meets with Cornelius and the other people who are interested in becoming followers of Jesus. And he takes with him some of what we get referred to here as the circumcised believers. Those are the folks who are Jewish believers. And he takes some of them with him. And he gets there, and there's still a debate. Can they be baptized? Okay, you know, how are we going to do this? Clearly they're welcome, but can they be baptized? And so they start engaging in this debate. Can we baptize them? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if we can baptize them. I don't know. And the Holy Spirit rides into the stream and says, pours onto the new believers. And even Peter can't miss this message. Obviously, the Holy Spirit considers that boundary between Gentile and Jew to not be very important at all. The lines that we draw between being a Gentile and a Jew, Holy Spirit's not having truck with any of that. Because if the Holy Spirit pours out on them, what's the point of withholding baptism? What's the point of withholding that marker of what makes us Christian? Because obviously the most important part of the process has already happened. The general's already in the stream. There's no point in staying here on the shore and asking, can we get across? We, as human beings, we draw those lines all the time. We draw those lines over all kinds of things because they help us know who we are. They're the lines around which we understand our identity. We draw them around religion. Are we Christians or Jews? We still draw those lines. Are we Muslims? Are we Hindus? We have lots of those lines. But we also draw them in other places, too. We draw them around race, around class, around education. Sometimes we draw them intentionally. The Jim Crow laws in the South were an intentional effort to draw the lines about who belonged in which section of society and who could associate with whom and how those relationships would be governed. Sometimes we draw them unintentionally. Our echo chambers, from the news we read and the friends on social media, the way we tend to read and listen to only people who agree with us, and we tend to push out of our sphere those who have opinions that we are not very happy about. That's one of those unintentional boundaries, and if we're not careful, pretty soon we live in a space where the only people allowed in are the people who think just like us, and we think everybody thinks that way. Sometimes we draw these boundaries even when we're trying to welcome people across them. I served in field education in a church that understood itself as Anglo-Catholic. For those of you who have participated in Anglo-Catholic worship, you'll know that it's very, very formal. There's a lot of kneeling, genuflecting, crossing yourself. There's all kinds of actions that we make as we go through the prayers. There are special prayers that are said. There are responses that everybody knows. So, and I chose this church intentionally because I come from a church so low that we use white wine in the chalice because, you know, it was easier to clean off the linen. Clearly, we were not going for transubstantiation in my home parish. So I said, I want to experience what it's like to go in the opposite direction. Somebody with that very formal liturgical worship. And so I came my first Sunday, and I sat in front, because that's what seminary students do. We are the kids who sit in the front row of the classroom. So I came and I sat in the front row, all because I wanted to observe and see what was going to happen. I spent the whole service looking behind and realizing people were kneeling and getting down, looking behind and realizing everyone was crossing themselves, and going, how do I do that? Nowhere in the bulletin did they list the prayer of humble access, but they all said it. By the time I got to the end of the service, it was very clear I was not one of them. They wanted so much to be a welcoming parish, but their religious practices had become boundaries that made it clear who was was one of them and who was not. Boundaries are something that happen whether we want them to or not because we're human. But that doesn't mean that we are not called to cross them. In fact, we can pretty well count on the Holy Spirit being no respecter of our boundaries. The Holy Spirit has no interest in the lines we draw between one another. It has no interest in who is in and who is out. God just simply doesn't care about our boundaries. And God asks us to run out to the middle of the stream and say to the people who have drawn them, look, it's not that deep. We can cross them. That's what happens in this story when the Holy Spirit arrives before Peter has said, yes, I think we can do this. That's what happens in this story with Peter. He said, he's all set. He knows that they have to figure out where the boundary is going to be. And the Holy Spirit arrives and says, there's no boundary here. Never mind it. Where are our boundaries? Because they're there. Have we looked around and noticed where we're standing on the shore and saying, I wonder how deep the water is? I wonder if we can get those people on the other side to come in? Because they're there. They're there in all human communities. They're there in all human families. Where are our boundaries? Where are the lines that we have not yet realized we have to cross? Where are we standing on the edge and wondering how deep the water is? Because those are the moments we should probably look around for the Holy Spirit. Because wherever that river is, that's where the Holy Spirit is, saying, come on, don't be afraid. We are going where we didn't know we are going to go. The good news, this resurrection news, it's for everyone. Come on, the water's not that deep, and we can get across it. Amen.